Blog Talk Radio.
You just don't know what you do to me.
Bad.
Give me all the chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina. Bet big, get in between your dances. Keep the prognosis, doses, blends and bends like Twizzlers. Biggest victim to hurt, what's under that skirt? Who filling them with octane? Got them gassed up, about to get blasted up, son. The last one, heard the mother, brother, missed him. I seen it when he kissed him at the witch, made his body shit. The high guy is 8-bit, the eyes smoke, pink, rap, terror, four chrome, and terror.
Like
five by deliverance, the fifth is conspicuous. Bad boy, 6 to 95, ridiculous. My rap lines is like landmines. One step, kaboom, black suit.
You are listening to the 30 Plus WTF show with the Bonica.
In the middle of the day now, baby, I seem to think of only you.
Hey, good evening, good evening. This is Malika, Brittany, Lonnie, and Bobby, and we are the 30 Plus WTF show where we talk about what is necessary. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Malika. What's going on?
Girl, the world is amazing. It's just absolutely beautiful. How you doing?
I am really good. So, today's a good day. I had a good weekend. How about you? How are you doing?
All right now. All right. I love to hear people had a great weekend. I had a really good weekend, too. Yes, indeed.
Oh, nice.
Yes, indeed. Looking forward to this weekend. Let's get our other guest on. Hey, Lonnie.
Well, hello, ladies. How are you?
Good.
It was absolutely a great weekend. The Fifth Ward Festival was a bang. Really been a good weekend. I found out that people care on a big, big way, and I'm happy about that.
Very nice. Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right, and let's get our returning special guest co-host on, Mr. Bobby Burns. Hey, Bobby.
Hello, hello. What's up, beautiful people? How y'all doing
hey,
this
Bobby.
Evening? Hello, hello.
Great. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm wonderful.
Wonderful.
It is a beautiful world, as Malika said. Even though it's raining a little bit, we need that rain, you know.
For sure.
Yes, we do.
We need it for growth.
Yes, we do.
As a kid, I didn't like rain, but you realize the older you get, it like washes stuff up.
Right.
Out, makes stuff start over. We need that sometimes.
Yes, yes.
So I'm excited about tonight because it is What Is On Brittany's Mind Monday. So all the listeners know she always starts the show out getting us in trouble, getting us stumped because she comes up with these questions. We have no idea what the questions are, as you all can tell, because I'm always like,
yeah.
And then Lonnie's like,
Okay.
And then everybody just all deep and all reflective. And, you know, I enjoy it, and a lot of the listeners enjoy it. So we are in for a full episode of What Is On Brittany's Mind. So everybody, get
this
ready.
This should be interesting. This should be real interesting. I told her before, I get kind of fearful when she starts what's in Brittany's mind. Brittany's mind is so vast, it could be anything.
You know what? When you say that, Malika, I always start laughing because it's so funny. I have the most random thoughts, and I have the most random questions. And literally, especially, I had such a good one like 2 weeks ago, I forgot to write it down. But literally all month, I go around with a piece of paper writing stuff down like, ooh, maybe I should ask that. Well, nah, maybe I should ask this because – I'm telling you, random thoughts cross my mind a lot. So, anyway, I'm excited. Today is a little low-key. I'm keeping it low-key. And I'm going to start because every time I say that, y'all are like, it's never low-key, but whatever. Okay, so I'm going to start with because it's back to school time. I'm going to start with, is there something you remember from school that you have never forgotten. I'll start with me so I can give you an example. If a teacher taught you a little, for example, to learn north, south, east, and west, and how to put it on a, you know, put the directions right, I learned never eat shredded wheat. So I never forget that when you put something down, like, so if you're starting at the if you make, you know, like a little plus sign for, you know, the directions. So at the top is the end, and the next letter to the right is an E, and the next the below the N is the S, and then on the other side is the W. So how I learned the directions and putting it on a map or something was never eat shredded wheat. Never forgot it.
Lord,
I know y'all
have
are like,
mercy.
Wait, that's crazy.
That is so random.
It's
that
random. But I've been, so it's back to school time. That's why I'm talking about school stuff. Anyway. So
okay.
Is there something you all remember from school? I have a couple more, so while you're thinking. What was my other one? I remember having a test about prepositions. And, you know, and I could remember, like, a couple of them. It was, like, behind, beside, beneath. And then somebody said, guess what? A preposition is anywhere a cat can go. Anyway, y'all. So anyway,
okay.
Those are some things I remember. Beneath, beside, behind. Anyway,
okay.
So these are like things I've remembered. In high school, I was in physics. F equals ma, force equals mass times acceleration, and the teacher was screaming at the front. I'll never forget because his name was Mr. Davis, so we had the same name, and he was like, "Force equals your ma." I was like, really? He's weird. But I never forgot it. Anyway.
Okay.
So these are some, just some, right. Some things I remember.
All right.
Any?
Bobby, Lonnie.
Okay. You know, I got something to say, right?
Yes.
It's really interesting because I was educated in the Evanston School District. And
me
I remember. I remember two things. I remember,
okay.
One, Dewey School and Miss Oliver. Of course, since I'm a tactile learner, like most black men, and I need to touch and do things, they put me in a lower class in Dewey School. And it really bothered me because I always thought I was really intelligent. And Miss Oliver explained to me that intelligence isn't given to you by some school district or some, you know, system. Your intelligence is given to you by God, and I never forgot that. And I thought that was really a problem.
Oh, that is so good.
He told a young man about, I was in third grade, and I never forgot that. And then the second thing was Carl Hammer in Evanston High School, who was a combined studies teacher. And he told me, he said that if you really are learning, you're learning to question everything. And that the minute you stop questioning things, you stop learning. And I never forgot that, you know, and those are the two most influential teachers that I've ever had. Miss Oliver, I don't remember her first name, from Dewey School, and Kyle Hammer, a combined study teacher at Evanston High School. They gave
me
some
lessons
on how to think. Yeah.
I love it.
Hmm.
So, real Bobby? Quick, let me start by saying, real quick, Bobby, before you say anything, I started in, and it's so funny, I said this to Lonnie, and he was like, oh, I get it now. I started in Montessori school, and if you all don't know about, like, Montessori, they all start with this tactile learning. All the kids
right.
are touching stuff, cutting stuff.
And it's mixed level as well, right?
And it's mixed level.
Right.
It's like learning. Everything is a learning experience, which
right.
is how I think all kids should learn. But and so some of that has stuck with me my whole life, but people – of course, think of my attitude and, like, me being kind of weird because I feel like I'm just me.
You're
anyway,
not weird. You're eccentric.
I like it. I'm eccentric. But for real, this is, you know, this is how I learn stuff. But I'm like this all anybody who has known me for 5 minutes, this is how I'm like all the time. So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bobby.
Well, it makes sense that that you went to Montessori school, because I know that they allow their young people to express themselves and to be open in ways that other schools kind of restrict. And so that makes sense. I remember I went to a Montessori school just to kind of check it out for even my son, and it was in Hyde Park. I can't remember the name. It was an African-American woman. She still runs it to this day, because this was only a few years ago when I checked it out. And they had these kids. Not only was everybody truly well-behaved and just ahead of the game as far as academically speaking, but they had those kids doing yoga too. You know, I was some kids was doing yoga poses, and just I love that they integrated. You know that the, you know the, just trying to get their students to calm. You know, to be calm and to be still and to breathe. And I feel like that should be integrated in every school district. So I love that. So that's no wonder you're as cool as you are and feel so confident expressing yourself, because that's exactly what they preach in those places.
Sure.
But yeah, so my what do I remember? One of the things I remember is when we studied the Iliad and we studied Greek mythology, and we spent a lot of time on that. This was either in fourth or fifth grade, and in retrospect, it almost felt like. Yes, that's what was so awesome about it. I guess I didn't really appreciate it at the time. My mom probably did, but it just seemed like it was some heavy stuff for that grade. But it was wonderful to learn about, you know, this culture, and to learn about, you know, these traditions, and to learn about this artistic expression, obviously, because a lot of it is just fables and stories. And but the writing was superb, and the way the characters were developed was superb. And even more so in retrospect, I didn't know this at the time, but in retrospect, I would have really appreciated, a culture that I identify with being, kind of glorified and put on a pedestal the way Greek mythology was. Because I know we spent a ton of time on that, and I know as I was able to appreciate their culture, I know if these schools took the time to acknowledge people like, you know, Mansa Musa, one of the richest man to ever walk the face of the earth, in Mali, and places like the Timbuktu University, where famous Greek philosophers went to study. I know that if these things were taught to fourth and fifth graders, I think everybody would just grow a greater appreciation for the beauties of people that look like me and tons of other people in this world. So that's something I remember, because it wasn't even a bad thing. I really grew to appreciate the culture, and it was just interesting. And I got into it. I got really into it, and I've never really stopped being interested in that particular culture. I always pick up books if I see something, So it's interesting how early, once you get those little nuggets, how you kind of, you know, stay interested in different cultures. The other thing is on a whole another different direction. I remember vividly trying to kick my way through any door to get out of high school at a certain point. And I'm flipping it all the way to that direction, because, you know, it goes back to those restrictive spaces. I feel like after you get out of, like, you know, kindergarten, that people decide that school has to be restrictive and it has to be unenjoyable. And I do not understand that. Whoever made that rule, we need to be shamed. You know, we need to find out who that was in history who decided that, and they need to be shamed, because it's ridiculous. And, you know, my whole theory is, even for my son, I have a 4-year-old, you know, I understand that kids learn, everybody learns better and focuses better when they're doing something they, you know, enjoy. And so I love for us to integrate that type of, that type of thinking even into older students. And if you look at even in corporate America, companies like Google and, you know, some of the top companies, they look at recreational opportunities, and they integrate those opportunities into the workspaces. So no wonder these are, again, you know, some of the biggest and most innovative companies in the world, because they're considering these things that should be considered at every age level. So I remember that very vividly in high school, just getting to a point where I needed to get out. And, you know, it was frustrating, because I'm one of those people that, once I learn something, it's like I got it. And we'd spend a whole week or 2 weeks talking about the same thing. It's like I got it. Now let's
now that we have, you know, we understand it in this way, in this form, let's see how else we can understand it. Let's touch now. Let's mm-hmm. create. Let's build. You know what I mean? And, you know, we didn't always have those opportunities. So those, I would say those are my top two memories that just really stand out. That'll stay with me forever. Yeah.
Love it. Mm. I love it.
Love it.
Malika.
Hey.
Malika's up.
Okay.
You know, that voice of yours gets you away with so much, Malika.
I'm going to be just straight honest here. I was one of those students at ETHS who could not wait to get up out of there. I was bored in every class.
Yeah.
The only places where I felt I could express myself and be me, where I felt strong and confident, where I was winning awards, was the Creative Writing Club. That was after school. And I was the only black person in the club, and I won awards, and I could just be me. And I was appreciated,
right.
Like we all appreciated each other, you know. Whereas in the classroom, I couldn't create. I couldn't
right.
create anything. I had to get the right
sure.
answer, and that was it. You know what I
right.
mean? And I was bored to tears, almost to tears. I would just be bored, just dreaming of the day of getting up out of there. And
right.
I swear.
I had a similar experience, Malika.
Right.
I'm with you
on
that.
And then I was on the pom-pom spot. Yeah, I look forward to performing. I was on the pom-pom squad, I think all from sophomore year to senior year. So, you know, my routines would get standing ovations. And, I mean, I just felt like that was my area. So when I graduated and I went to college, it was like somebody opened up a cage and a whole nother character came out of me. And it was like a beast came out, and I just was ready to just attack the world and just truly be me and free. So I'm probably not the best person to talk about going back to school and, you know, prepositions and plus signs and things like that.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Don't
get me wrong. I wasn't the best student either. I just tried to make the best out of some situations like you did, you know, and get out of there and get to a place where you can express yourself. I was just saying,
what's really interesting is all of you are kind of alluding to the fact that modern education is more indoctrination than education. I mean, everybody, you know, it's about a system of memory, and that's not necessarily the way you teach kids to think. And I think the boredom came from not being able to express, you know, the godlike qualities that are in you already, that school's kind of dull. So it'll be interesting how, you know, we change the school systems as we go along.
Right.
But it's almost short-term memory because, you know, most students don't actually retain, you know, enough.
Right.
And
right.
so it's like it's really just about passing something and then moving on. And then you don't really, you know, I can't count how many university graduates I talk to, and they're like, yeah, I graduated from so-and-so school. And I'm like, that's cool. I don't really care, though, where you graduate. I want to know what you know. Do you have some information that you can pass off to me that would be valuable? And most of them are like, you know, even on what they graduated on. Now, again,
this isn't
everybody, but I can't count how many times, especially people in business management and, you know, where they got nothing for me. And I'm like, wow, so you spent, you know, what, $100,000 on an education? You know, what did that cost you to learn nothing?
Yeah,
you
but
know,
it's a hierarchy of money. It's really bad because the point is, you know, you got a doctorate, so you spend a lot of money. So people now think that you're like the most educated person in the world. I tell everybody every day I went to the University of Church in Dodge, and I would take my PhD and put it against any PhD or doctorate on this earth. And I learned on the corners. I learned in some of the worst crack houses and gambling houses and prostitution houses about people. And, you know, I think my degree is in human behavior. And I would say to anyone that, you know, your learning comes from life. It doesn't come from some book.
It doesn't. Mm. And like you say, there is nothing, there is no, it is the most valuable thing to have common sense and to have some
sense.
because I meet some people that are just so clueless and adults,
right.
And I'm looking at them like, you spend all this money on the education, as Bobby says, but you have no common sense at all.
Right.
Save your soul. And it's just so
right.
crazy to me that and that's acceptable.
And we're not creating lifelong learners, too. That's the issue. They think it ends.
No.
As soon as the test ends, as soon as graduation, you know, is over with, it's over with. And you're not supposed
right.
to, you know, weigh anything against each other or, you know, kind of really look at the education you got and maybe look at some alternative books that you didn't read in school and again,
sure.
weigh that information against what you learned. Like, they just think it ends there. It's like, no, it should be a lifelong, you know, journey education. And now you need to get out into the real world and really experience life, you know, so you can draw from these experiences and get a whole nother level of education, which, again, it's just it just seems like people aren't interested in that. So
they're not. And like we've been saying, school has not created the idea that you want to be a lifelong learner because they
right.
and guess what? And the teachers know it, too. They don't have time. And it's unfortunate that they've been put under even more stipulations and things that they have to do to fulfill somebody else's requirement. It's not all these teachers that feel like that. So just letting y'all know
right.
out there if you're listening. So this is random. is there a movie that no matter when it comes on, you watch it? You quote lines from it, you know it. Is there a particular movie that you love?
Wow, that's a really good one. and I want to jump in first because that movie would be Cooley High for me. I think Cooley High shows a picture of African American life, urban life in a way that all my entire life I try to show other people and show the love and the reality of what black life was about, even the negative parts of it, you know, even the gangsters or whoever they were, you know, and being filmed on the South Side, and it just always hit me. Now, I don't quote lines from it, but it's one movie that whenever it comes on, you know, I watch, you know, the G.C. Cameron, the So Hard to Say Goodbye song is still one of my favorites.
I think that
their friendship, the partnership between the basketball player and the other young man who was, Terman or I can't remember the stars, but their friendship was so deep that you could feel when he lost his partnership that, you know, it really affected him. It affected the way he saw life. And that's, it always hit me. Cooley High is my pitch.
I love it. And that's a good one. I love that movie. Last week, another thing that made me think of this was last week I went to see Purple Rain downtown. They were playing Purple Rain in the park. And it was like, I mean, it's not the best movie. The music is great. I love that movie. When it comes on, I can stop and watch it, quote lines from it. Not that I, like, walk around saying lines from Purple Rain, but watching the movie, I know what they're about to say sometimes. I just think it's funny. But anyway, I love Purple Rain. I love Last Dragon. What's another movie I love? It's a whole bunch of movies I love. First Wives Club is on. I love that movie. I love movies anyway, but anyway, go ahead.
Bobby?
I'm gonna go with a weird one. See, I'm a weird guy. I'm gonna have to go with Original Sin with it's Antonio Banderas. Nobody's seen it.
Oh, and
check
Angelina
this movie
Jolie.
Out.
And yes,
Angelina Jolie,
it.
Who's I've always had a little crush on her big lip self. And Original Sin is about, you know, really quickly, it's about Angelina Jolie. She basically goes under somebody else's identity and marries this man. It was an arranged marriage. And she was with a guy who ended up killing the girl who was supposed to marry this gentleman, Antonio Banderas' character, who was a rich, some type of tycoon. I'm not sure exactly what business he's in.
Like,
but
yeah, he's rich.
He's a really rich, wealthy guy. So they, you know, they come up with this scheme. The guy she kind of runs all, you know, does these runs around the world doing schemes with. He kills the girl, and they figure out. Probably telling y'all the whole story now. Y'all ain't gonna want to watch it, but he. But basically, you know, she goes under this other girl's identity and marries him, and it's this whole a lot of stuff unfolds. It's a very tense, you know, kind of love story, but it starts off as. It starts off not a love story at all, and that's what makes it really interesting. It's because it just shows the complexities of love and romance, and it just there's so many tangles of emotions in this thing, and it takes you on a journey, on an emotional journey, as well as a journey through these different you know places that that they're going. Because she eventually Angelina kind of runs away from him, and he's so kind of you know crazy in love with her, and he's kind of. Chasing her and trying to find her, and it's just it's all types of craziness, and I love it.
Wow, young B is a romantic. Wow,
right? See, I love the because I've always loved women that either I shouldn't have loved in the first place or ones that I couldn't quite get a hold of, and I love that part of romance, like that type of person intrigues me, probably intrigues all of us, the mysterious person, the one that is always seems to be a step ahead of you, that's eluding you, and that's what this whole movie is about, and it's wonderful. It just plays on all that, you know, little stuff that kind of keeps us engaged with people, very interesting people. All the characters are very well developed, very interesting, and I remember lines from it. One line that is just to show you the intensity. At one moment, Antonio Banderas says, "I cannot breathe without you. I cannot think without you." This is him in this moment expressing himself while there's knives involved and guns and all types of crazy stuff. Please watch it, and you'll leave that movie like, this was intense. This was wonderful. So it's one of those. It's an unforgettable movie, and especially nowadays where there's not a lot of rich movies. I'm a guy who, you know, I like looking at the old school movies, even the black and whites, because I just feel like it had more substance to it. It was way more rich, and the characters were more rich, and the writing was wonderful.
Sure.
And you don't get that a lot in movies now. Original Sin is one of those where all the way around, the cinematography, the writing, the character development, everything was just on point. The costumes, you know, everything was on point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have to say Original Sin. I'm going with that. All right.
Original Sin. I'm going to have to watch
Original
it.
Original Sin.
I do like that movie.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Check it out.
It's good.
I'm gonna
have to look that one up. Malika. Okay. Mine would have to be a film that where I'm always quoting is a Working Girl. Did you all ever see that movie with Melanie Griffith and Harrison Ford and Sigourney Weaver?
Right.
That is my movie. I bought the movie. I had to go online. I made everybody in my family sit and watch it, whether they wanted to or not.
What year was it released?
That was back in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
Early 80s.
So that means you got that on VHS then.
Yeah.
Where do you even play a VHS at? Ain't nowhere to play no VHS. Oh,
you
my
crazy?
God.
I still have VHS. I still have a VHS player.
Me too.
I need to come over to you guys' house. What do they call those people? We're going to call the hoarder people for you two.
No, but you got to keep that. You got to keep that. I got, like, more money on VHS. I got all types of stuff on VHS.
More money.
I can keep that. I got all types of strange movies on VHS now.
We should have a movie day, like a movie day marathon. That'd be fun. Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
Working Girl. So Working Girl, you made watch them.
I made people watch that film. That was my
I'm not sure I've seen that. Now, what is that? What's the gist on that? What is that about?
Working Girl was about a girl who came from nothing, and she was determined to get into the world of, like, the stock market. She was determined to get into the world of business. She really wanted to make money, and no one would take her serious because she came from, you know, just the wrong tracks. People saw her as uneducated, but she had great ideas. She was brilliant, And so she started working for this woman, Sigourney Weaver, who, you know, she comes for money. They were the same age, but she was her boss. And Melanie Griffith, she told her, yeah, come to me with your ideas. I'll be your mentor. I'll help you, you know, kind of, you know, deceived her. So she trusted
right.
her, came with $1 million idea, and this woman sucked her dry, tried to steal it, and, you know, guy was on Melanie Griffith's side and, you know, exposed the lady to her. So she basically took over the woman's apartment, her clothes, basically her identity, and she got yeah. into these important meetings, got her idea heard before Sigourney, you know, went and put it into action herself. She beat her to the punch because it was her idea in the first place. And, I mean, you just have to see it. I don't want to, you know, ruin it for you.
No, yeah, that sounds good. That's just, yeah, that's just enough.
But, but she
that's
was blessed
too.
In the end. And, yes, I cheer. Like, I get emotional every time I watch it. And I've seen it over 100 times. I just cheer because she was the underdog. She was the underdog.
Right. I love those movies.
Everybody believed the rich one. Like, you couldn't have came up with that idea. She's the educated one. She's the one with all the power. She came up with the idea. So it was deep. Loved that movie, and she won. She won, and the chick got fired and ousted. And she got the man. She got her man and got the dream job she wanted, and she came in with nothing. No, you know, she didn't come in with
which,
a degree.
Which part were you more happy about, Malika? Her getting her man or her getting the business? Which one was it? Which one brought you the most joy?
The man part that I loved was that he believed in her. He believed in her, even though he was dating the rich one with the power, but it was the one ideas and fire that he really connected with. And so when it came time to decide who was telling the truth, who actually came up with this $1 million idea, he had the poor girl's back. And I loved him for that.
Was that Harrison Ford?
Loved him. Yes.
Was that
loved him.
Was
that
Harrison Ford? Yeah.
Yes. Anybody else would have went with the rich girl and be like, yeah, we're about to roll with this. Yeah, she, you know, it's unfortunate. You lost out, you know. But he had her back. He almost lost his job because he believed in her. And it turned out she was telling the truth. It was her idea. You know, they were able to prove it. So that is my movie. And one of my favorite lines from that movie is, I have a head for business and a body for sin. Is there anything wrong with that? That was Melanie Griffith's line in that movie. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So that was my movie. And Any Given Sunday.
I love
Sunday.
It.
Well,
I love Any Given Sunday, too.
Yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely love is Any Given Sunday. I'm always rooting for that underdog. That underdog. When everybody's
yeah, right.
rooting for one everyone's supposed to go for, and then that underdog comes up like, y'all went with the wrong one.
Right, right.
Right.
And when the underdog, you know, is triumphing, that's the moment where these movies get a single tear out of me when that happens. I ain't even going to front.
Aww.
It's always in the end when he perseveres, especially because I feel like that's the story of my life is a story of kind of redemption, trying to because, you know, that kid who was kicking open the high school doors and everybody thought, okay, this guy's done for. Like, the streets got him. He ain't coming back. And then, you know, I feel like I've made it to a decent amount of success, at least enough, you know, enough for me. It's just I love those moments because I just can relate to them. And I'm up out of my seat. I got my hands up over my head, and I'm you know
yes.
I feel like I'm in the movie. Like yes, yes.
Yes.
You
and
know
you
what I'm saying? Yes,
a
I love
times
it.
Still be moved and still be moved.
Right,
many
right,
times you
right.
It feeds
and be
you.
Waiting for
it
that moment
you.
To come back. Right, yeah. I'll be
yeah.
waiting on it patiently,
yeah.
knowing it's happening, but acting like it's not. Acting like why are you doing them bogus? You know you shouldn't do them bogus. He's a good guy, even though you know he's going to be successful at the end, but you still, you know, just getting it all into it emotionally. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love those movies where you're all emotionally invested. And the funny
right.
thing is, Original Sin and Working Girl, I've seen, or Any Given Sunday, I've seen like the behind the scenes and the directors and the actors talking about those movies. So I love that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
gonna move
yeah.
That movie
I've not
like
even seen
years.
Those for Original Sin. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that one was interesting, but they show, you know, to hear the actors and the director talk about it. Those are great types of things. So I love to hear the backstory as well. All right, everybody. So one more thing. Okay, so the next thing, or the one more thing.
Lord.
That was on- No, this isn't bad.
These have been good. Yeah, these have been very smooth. Thank you.
These are good. Uh-huh. Well, see, it wasn't, oh, Lord.
I got you. All right.
She's saving that one.
I think I'm saving the best for last.
For last, exactly. I said she's going to hit us over the head with something now.
No, okay. So I have had time recently to think about this, and I feel like people don't address it, and then they get caught up and get burnt out. So my question is, and my thing is, my question is about self-care. What do you do to decompress? You know what I'm saying? How do you take a break? And sometimes I think people and our listeners, I don't think people think about this enough, and it goes to the point where they get burnt all the way out, doggone, almost pass out, until, and then figure out, oh, wait a minute, I might need to take care of myself. I'll give my quick story. I felt like I took care of people, sick people, for like 3 years straight, and then I was still running around trying to do my thing, and I looked up one day and I was just, not just physically, but mentally exhausted. And I feel like we all don't address this enough, especially Black people. You take care of folks, you take care of your kids, you take care of your parents, you take care of your loved ones, and then you turn around, you know, 5 years later, and you're like, why am I so sick? Why do I need this medication? Why can't I sleep? Why don't I eat? I'm just saying, how do you do self-care? It's so funny you mentioned, Bobby, about yoga. I am a certified yoga instructor.
Okay.
And sometimes, and I just I did that like 2 years ago, but I realized every time I did yoga, I felt better, because it's like releasing bad energy. It's letting stuff out. And the thing about yoga is there's different kinds, so everything isn't for everybody. There's stuff, you know, they're banging a brass bowl sometimes. No, that's not for everybody. You know, and people chanting and moaning and all that, it's not for everybody. It's just finding the type of yoga that you like, I think. But as far as yourself and your self-care, like, what do you do? Sometimes I just sit and do nothing. I mean nothing, and think about stuff, which is why I come up with these questions.
Because you're sitting around thinking.
Thinking. You need a break sometimes.
Right.
So,
I guess
like we don't do that enough.
I guess since we have been going in a certain order, I'm going to jump in again. That's really interesting. It's really interesting because, you know, when that you talk about, African people all over the world, have had a generational trauma that needs to be dealt with in some severe ways. And you're very right, Brittany, that we don't, as a people, take the time out to really understand that, you know, this, you know, I don't get into arguments with people about Holocaust and things like this, but there's been only one true human tragedy that is the largest, most encompassing human tragedy ever, and that's the attack on African people in the world. And now, how do I deal with that? Well, number one is, you know, I'm a high energy person. I kind of thrive on combat, believe it or not. It turns me on. So I don't know if I turn it down as much as I should. But the two things I do, and one of them is going to be really weird because this is going to sound really strange. I smoke marijuana. I turn up music really loud. So that's one. You know,
I love it.
You know, Marvin Gaye, Sly, I don't listen to the new stuff. I will listen to a little bit of the older rap. But the other thing I do, which I think is the most relaxing thing in the world, you know, I fish for two types of fish, catfish, and I fish for pikes. And there's two different ways that you fish for these fish. One is deeper, one is in the middle. And, you know, it's really interesting. When you throw in a sinker for trying to get down to bottom for a catfish, it creates this ripple in the lake or river wherever you're at. And I've always been the person that after I throw it in, I watch that ripple. And the ripple doesn't end for the longest time. It always brought me peace to watch this ripple.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I guess fishing is my seriously main, you know, that's just the way I do what I do. I think fishing and water bring me peace. And so that's what I would say.
I like it. Water's always a good thing.
It just sounds peaceful the way you describe it.
Right?
Okay.
I need to find a ripple picture of something right now.
It makes you feel peaceful.
You feel good.
I'm going to Google ripple pictures.
Mr. Burns?
I love when Malika goes, that means she's really thinking.
Yeah, when she you're in trouble.
Yes, here we go. I don't think I'm almost, I got quiet actually when you asked it, because I'm like, I really want to hear from other people, because I don't think I get enough of that. You know, I think I'm one of those people that it's hard for me to truly
relax.
You
don't decompress?
Yeah, I think the closest I get to it is what Brittany was saying, where I get kind of quiet and I think so hard and so deeply that I can't even call that a good rest, you know, because my mind does this weird thing where it creates problems just to solve them. I tell Lonnie that all the time, and that's not that comfortable even for the brain. So, you know, I can't say that when I felt my calmness though is when I'm exercising, either exercising or getting a massage. What's the other one with the needles? I had a terrible experience with that. Acupuncture was not a good experience for me. It was actually more traumatic. It was more of a trauma thing than it was relaxing. I don't know why folks like that. Maybe it was just me, but you know, those needles went way deeper than I thought they were gonna go. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It depends on
I mean, it's my leg was curling and not for a good reason, and the dude didn't even stop. I'm like, that means I give. That means surrender, sir. You know, we need to slow down. But this was one of them ancient Asian men that just, they don't play around with pain, and they like, look, take it, it's going to feel better later. And I'm like, I don't trust you anymore. You know, we've broken the trust thing now. We started off okay. I trusted you as my medical practitioner, but now I think you're a threat. Now I want to call a friend and have somebody come in here and observe what you're doing to my body. It was lit. I'm not even exaggerating. This was my experience with acupuncture, so I'll probably never go back to that. But
Bobby said, you're a threat. You're a threat.
Man, I felt like it was a threat against my life, my body,
your life,
my comfort. And it was just, and I was so looking forward to it too, because I always saw it, you know, done in the movies, and it looked like such a weird and interesting way to hit these different zones of the body that usually aren't stimulated. And I didn't even feel good afterwards, you know. I did not, but the massage was decent, though. Massages are definitely always, you know, do the trick. And it's almost like I should do more of those things, and I'd probably feel better. But it's just things get so busy, and obviously there's a cost to that. The cost isn't too rough, but it's just, you know, the logistics of it, trying to get out of your own mind and out of your own schedule and just kind of do these things on a regular basis. I did also start going to a sweat lodge, and I need to get back into that too. That was wonderful as well.
A what?
A sweat lodge, basically. So you go in and you just get into a steam room, either a dry kind of room or an actual steam room. And then afterwards what you do is you sink yourself. You go from hot to cold. So you literally submerge yourself into really cold water. And the effect of that is just wonderful. You would think it's that's traumatic, but it's actually a really nice experience. And afterwards, I mean, your whole body is just radiating and buzzing, and you feel like you can walk miles and miles and miles just with a full smile the whole time. So I would recommend that to anybody. And then other than that, I just want to take more time on nutrition. I'm one of those people that I'm very sensitive to inflammation in the body, and obviously with the sugar and the carbs and the starches and all these other things that are like loaded into our modern American diet, all those things cause inflammation in the body. And I happen to be one of those people, because I'm type O blood type, that is very sensitive to inflammation. So what I really want to do now in my life is just focus on food and nutrition. I feel like that's always our last thought. Like, we're always in a rush and we're like, oh, I forgot to eat. And that's like the worst time to make food decisions. And that's why we eat terrible and you know, buy cheap food. And so at this point in my life, I feel like I'll get some peace with just preparing my meals. Like every Sunday, you know, instead of rushing myself during the week, just try to prepare some meals on Sunday so I know what to expect. I know what I'm going to cook. I know what's – and some of the stuff can already be ready. So then I'm not rushing, and I can make sure that my body is getting the nutrients and the minerals and all these wonderful things that it needs to feel peaceful, because food has a tremendous impact on your well-being. Like, it can make you stressful, or it can make you stressless. Like, just food has the capability to do all that. So – I know that was a long answer, but that's where I'm at with things.
That's why I'm asking. I want the long answer today.
He was honest. He said, I don't decompress. I was like, that's interesting. I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate to that.
I was 180 pounds at one point, and I lost 20 pounds very quickly, and that's why I'm walking around here like a rail. And a lot of that was because of my, you know, the birth of my son, just kind of dealing with that whole. That was another traumatic experience, I'll be honest. I don't decompress enough. I'll be the first to admit.
I feel like it's something we all don't, a lot of us don't think about, which is until it's too late or until you're really sick. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
What's really sad is that, you know, we don't really respect the situation that we are under as a people. And, you know, I know I'm like a broken record, which is multi-generational trauma. But they've proven that trauma can be passed from generation to generation. Now, if you think about that, for a minute, which means every ancestor I have in some way has passed on their trauma over a couple to me. So if you think about that, and you think about being African-American, then you understand the real pressure that we're under. And I'm almost to the point that we need to have almost mental health healing centers in our neighborhoods where it allows African-American people to go somewhere and relieve the pressure. Because if you look at what kills us is high blood pressure, kidney disease, and heart disease. Those are the three main killers of African-American people. And if you trace the causes of those illnesses, they can all be traced back to stress or food. So once again, we're right back to the thing. We're stuck in these food deserts where we process garbage. McDonald's and Burger King make billions and billions of dollars off of us. And it's hard. You know, have you ever tried to eat really, really healthily? If you don't have no money, you can't eat healthy. You might as well get that out your head. All the good food, all the food that is really worth something, that brings nutrients to the body, costs money. So in essence, there's a setup. You know, I know I'm Mr. Conspiracy, Mr. Radical, all this, but I'm also not dumb. If you keep feeding people the same garbage generation after generation, and these same people have a multi-generational trauma, you're trying to kill them. There's no other reason. And no one can tell me any different. You know, I know there's people who say, oh, Lonnie, you think they're around the corner. Yes, I do. And they are around the corner, and they're burying millions of us every day because of it.
I totally agree. It's that food thing is so serious, and like Bobby said about preparing, I've been going to work. I feel so good because I've been making my lunch to go, and it's so much better to plan and do stuff. The thing about me is, I don't know about you all, but as far as dinner is concerned, I do not like leftovers. I don't like to reheat stuff. I'm a weirdo like that. And so that part is a problem for me. Because I don't like to reheat stuff.
I don't like to reheat stuff, but I love stuff that's been sitting. Like spaghetti is really serious after the third day in the icebox.
Okay. I'm like, I don't like spaghetti. I'm weird. I don't like spaghetti like that. But it's just for me, and it's I basically cook for myself, so that's weird cooking for one person right now. So, but that's my thing. TMI, too much information. But anyway, but I feel like you're saying food preparation is so super important, people. Eat some more stuff that's green. Stop it with these burgers and stuff. Eat some green stuff. That's a public service announcement. Or do like me. I put it in the blender. I will put, you know, like, I will make a smoothie with, like, kale and then put some berries in there, and it tastes like the berries. It doesn't taste like the kale, but you're still getting the nutrients. Just think about that.
Well, let's bottle Brittany's smoothies. Start a brand new health line. We got it already. Brittany's smoothies. Where we're going to promote them on you know, on the radio show, on the podcast here.
Uh-huh.
And let's get Brittany pumping. You know, why not make you the biggest smoothie maker in the world?
Hey, you know, let's do it.
Right.
Let's do it. And they can all, you know, you can add vodka to all of them to make them fun. I'm just saying. I'm kidding.
You kill it.
They can be healthy and then they can be fun.
Healthy with a kick of unhealthy. Just to give it the with a kick of unhealthy, just to give it the proper balance.
Well, you know what? I use the organic vodka made from grapes.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
That's better.
That's better. I'm
just
saying.
Yeah, that's the rock. The rock is made from grapes.
Hey, yeah. There is vodka that's made from grapes, but, you know, you got to look for it. It's at Trader Joe's, everybody. Anyway, that's my that's my plug. Malika, darling. You still thinking?
Well, you know, I was thinking, when should I really decompress? I used to decompress regularly in L.A., when I lived in L.A., because I would go for a drive on the PCH, like, every weekend. Or I would drive out to Vegas or Arizona. And so it would be me, God, the desert, or the ocean. Mainly the desert, though. And everybody would be like, "You driving out there by yourself?" Yep. Because it's just me, God, desert, with my windows rolled down. And that was just the best because I could think clearly, plan out things. And then by the time I got home, it was just, I felt clear, like I had clarity. But
sure.
Since moving back here to the West, I had that kind of scenic, you know, driving. I went into African dance because before I moved out West, African dance was decompressed because it just touches that vein in you. And I just loved it. That was just my heart. I'm going to get back into that because that was a way to really release some stress out of my body and box of the box. So actually a little boxing gym just up right up the street, so I'm going to be signing up for that. So
nice.
That's a way for me to decompress too. So, yeah, that's it for me. And yes, I love my wine. I love my wine. That's about
we know. I know.
Decompress.
Malika loves wine. That's a decompression.
Yes. My red wine. Yes.
Your red wine. It's so funny that, you know, like you talked about water and Lonnie talked about water, and that reminded me of my – and I would go to the Skokie Lagoons and kayak with my stepdad, and that was cool. And it's like, you know, because especially here on the north side or whatever, we have access to water. If you want to, I would go just look at the lake and water in, you know, by the beach and water coming in. That's so relaxing. And like you're saying, something physical to take your mind off of stuff. Like, first of all, we all need to eat good. We all need to hydrate, and we all need to sweat
So I love that you talk about boxing and African dancing, and Bobby was talking about the sweat lodge, because you need to release these toxins, people.
Right, right. Did y'all notice that nobody brought up of all the sweating things to do, nobody brought up sex. That's interesting.
This is true. This is very true. This is right. The crew bunch or something.
No.
No, we're a bunch of non-human fathers.
Right. That's crazy. That did not get brought up.
That question. That's a
sex
whole
does not decompress.
Especially because it's connected with another person who could, you know, either break your heart or not, you know, whatever. It's just that can lead down a whole other journey. That's probably why I didn't bring it up.
Well,
let me jump in here.
I need to jump in here. I'm a little older than all of you, and let me tell you something.
Okay.
The right sexual partner, you can decompress, you can relax. You know, a lot of times one of our problems in life is we pick the wrong partners. You know, there's a yin and yang in people, and if the guy or the girl you're with is the yin to your yang, trust me, you can decompress.
See, he grew up in an era where they decompressed every weekend, you know.
Every day, right, exactly.
You know, exactly, that's what I'm saying.
This
disease wasn't as rampant.
You know?
Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Guys,
so I don't want to hear none of that.
Right.
I don't want to hear none of that. It's a whole other game.
Right.
They,
you know,
they got stuff that'll kill you instantly.
Right.
It ain't the same game.
Yeah,
it's
Lonnie,
not the same game. This stuff will take you out,
Lonnie,
now.
You have no idea. It's rough out here.
You know, he's laughing about it, but I'm really sorry, and I'm going to say this to the generations behind me. I'm sorry that you guys could not enjoy the humanness of sex. Because I want to be honest with you, I had sex everywhere on top of fire hydrant, at the beach, in the park, on roof, you know, and listen, you couldn't die from it. The worst thing that could happen to you,
that's what I'm saying,
you four or five pills and you were good. Now, you know, you got to have like aluminum foil rubbers and you know, body shields and stuff.
It'll take you out.
I'm really glad that I'm not going. I didn't live with you guys. That would have been really traumatic.
Casual sex was still a thing in his generation, where it was like, you want to bite the sex? You want to do some sex? Yep, I'll do some sex right now. You know, it was still that thing, and it's not like that now. And if you do it that way, you'll be, you know, you can get sick, especially in Chicago, Atlanta. I mean, these are some of the, you know, you always see it on the news. It's some of the places that's just, you know, just riddled with these diseases. It's crazy.
Right.
All I can say is I feel so sorry for you guys.
Right? Yeah. You don't want to look at people. You're like, I'll just wave at them, because I don't want to get close to them. I mean,
I'm telling you.
Literally. If you take them in your room and you turn off the light and they're glowing still, I think you need to leave them alone.
See? Oh. But sometimes they don't even glow. Lonnie, that's the problem. That they look
they don't glow.
It'd
right.
be wonderful, yeah. Right, if there was an indicator, right?
It would be,
stay
that would
away.
Be wonderful if it was like, yeah, like their eyes turn green or something, and you would
right.
know. But that doesn't happen. So you look at people, and they look real normal. And I
yeah.
say normal. But
normal.
Then, normal. And it's just, it's so
yeah,
trauma.
They ain't too normal.
Right, and it's so traumatizing.
Well, you know, this is kind of like a whole.
So to all our young listeners, don't listen to Lonnie. To all our young listeners, still keep it safe.
Right.
Keep it strapped up. Don't do it on fire hydrants. Don't do it on fire hydrants.
Wait a minute.
Keep it with somebody you know and love.
This is a serious issue, and I want to say this, and I need to say this. You know, I'm a little older than all of you. And the minute that the connection between human beings becomes so dangerous that we're afraid to do it, then something has to happen. And, you know, I know that I have to get into the mindset of a new generation, and I understand that. But the true human passing passion between a human being and a human being is a gift from God. And we may have ruined it in some ways. And, you know, and I don't want young people to think that you should be afraid of having sexual relationships. Yes, you should take care of yourself. Yes, you should be safe. But the minute we turn it into, it's more, you know, it's like, I don't know if any of you have seen Soylent Green or movies like that where people can't even touch people. And that's really a sad, sad thing. And I mean that from the depths of my soul.
I don't
soul.
Know if you ever seen Demolition Man. I think it's called Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes, but that's how it was in that, like, dystopia futuristic world where they were literally having this virtual sex. You put on this helmet thing, and that's how you would do it.
Oh, wow.
And Stallone was coming, like, they froze him in the movie, and so he was coming from the past, basically, into the future. And he's like, what the heck is this? This ain't sex. They couldn't even kiss. They couldn't do nothing. You know, even exchanging any body fluids was considered, I think it was illegal, but it was definitely shamed and shunned.
If
so
we get to that, they need to nuke this place.
Yeah, it's not even right. Exactly. It's not even worth it.
They need to nuke this place.
But I don't think it's that deep. I just think you need to do it with somebody you trust, that you know. You know, whether you want to be in a committed relationship or not is between the individuals. But I certainly think at this point you got to know the person. All that one-night stuff, you're taking a big risk, you know, especially if you're not strapping up. But even if you're strapping up, there's still some risk there. So, you know, that's just my philosophy. But if people, you know, at the end of the day, it's your body. If you want to just be reckless, you know, hey, you gotta do what you feel.
I'm not asking people to be reckless. I'm asking people not to forget that the combination of human beings and the thing that sex really is, because sex is communication. And I don't want you to be reckless. I don't want you to be unsafe. But the minute we step from human contact with human to fear, then there's no need for life on earth.
Now, some people also say every person you have sex with, that you take on a bit of their spirit. And that's, I don't know if y'all think that deeply about sex. But if you do, that's something else to consider. You know, right.
I really do. That's why I'm selective.
I believe that. And I've been wanting to do a show on, we haven't gotten there yet. I have been wanting to do a show on, you know, it's a lot of down low situations out there. I don't even know if they call it down low anymore. But, you know, it's a lot of.
I don't know if you want me on that show, kid. I'm not sure if you want me on that show, kid. Because I want you.
A lot of women, we can't tell. Are you really into me or am I a cover-up? You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's going to be a deep show. That's a deep show. But it has to be discussed, though.
Have a good night.
Oh my God.
It has to be discussed.
Huge fear.
And we got to get some different views on that one so that can get real heated. And, you know, it's necessary, though, to have those discussions. Confrontation is good. You know, I just grew up in a household where debate and all of that was welcomed. So, you know, we need to go towards those type of discussions. And that's where the growth happens. Everybody's trying to be too safe. Let's get in it.
I've had so many girlfriends who have wasted years of their life on a man that was into men, and he just deceived her for years. Yeah. So she done lost her childbearing years. Many of them. And I'm like, you know, I could tell that they were gay, but they could not tell that they were gay. And I'm like, wow, have we gotten that desperate that, like, okay, well, he's feminine, but he's cool. You know, I'm just, you know. It needs to be a discussion because that deception is hurtful. And a lot of women
I do feel like masculinity, though, in its traditional form is a little restrictive. I'm not saying that, you know, try to condone some of the behavior you see now. But I do think the traditional masculine is a bit restrictive. I think I was reading an article the other day that said that you almost have to be in a black community, especially, you got to be willing to kill somebody or get shot to be considered masculine sometimes. And it's like, that's a bit much. You know, so that also is a balance that we need to discuss.
I know
Lonnie's going to have something to say about this, but,
why
you know.
Why are y'all doing this? And I'm going to try my best.
And we're giving everybody the preview to the next show.
Right. Well, this is what I just want to say to you. Before the Africans meet the European and their issues of their culture, there's very little evidence of homosexuality in Africa. Now, I'm going to be as clear as I can. I have no problem with anybody if they're a lesbian, if they're gay, whatever they want to be. I really am into truly believing that people should be free as they can. But I also know there's an agenda being played out where black males and black masculinity is in question. And we can't afford, I'm going to be really honest with you, we can't afford for Steve to go with Steve. We don't have time for that. So we need to clean up our whole entire act and feminine males, as much as I may love you as my brother, I would prefer that you didn't do that. because I think that God meant for us to have children, and you can love whoever you want to. And if you feel like you're gay or lesbian, you make that decision. But as our culture, I think that that is something we should work towards ending.
I'm for everybody finding love wherever you can. If you're with a man, you love a man, then be with a man. My thing is don't deceive a woman and wasting her years.
Right.
Her into her. And really, you love men, and you can't be honest because of your family or your job or whatever case. That's where I have a problem.
And then you're gonna make her have just trust issues the rest of her life, because think of the disrespect that that person has shown and has for that person who would drag somebody knowingly. You know, they know they're doing this. They know they have no They know they have no long term agenda for this person, and no expectation to be with them, forever or whatever we're going to look at it, and they're still doing it for selfish reasons. So that just you just messed that person up.
Yeah, but,
but at the same time, I feel like some of the girls know, though, too, and that's another thing.
Oh my
I feel like
God,
some of them know, but they're just, you want – and I'm going to be real with it. You know, we have this issue with everybody wants something that and this is what I was talking about earlier. Everybody wants something that they can't have, that thing that is eluding them. And I bet oftentimes these gentlemen – are probably very good, strikingly good-looking people, and you feel like you didn't, I didn't got something that everybody, I know all my girlfriends going to want, and I didn't been trying my whole life to get this, and you don't realize that this person actually probably has a lifestyle that's not suited for the lifestyle you're trying to share with that person. And I would bet oftentimes it's a physical thing. That physical thing distracts so often in all of our relationships, or most relationships, and we got to get beyond that, because a lot of these women know. They know. They know.
We're missing a little piece of this, and I know we shouldn't have got on this. I wish you had done this to me.
Right.
But there is a national movement to infeminize black men, and I'm against it. And I'm not gonna bend in any way. We are not supposed to. Let me tell you something. I don't have any problems with the ideas. My problem is all of a sudden men are more women than women. They become ultra women. There's something wrong here. Do you understand? Even the characterization of the men that you see in Atlanta and elsewhere, they're past. That ain't gay. There's something else going on. Now he has on a skirt. He has to switch. He has to put on makeup. He has to grow tits. What are we doing here? This isn't
now
about
he sex. Has to be
this
a
is
woman.
A,
now he
right.
Has
this
to
is
be.
About a characterization that doesn't need to happen. And the bad thing is it's becoming accepted in our culture. Let me tell you something. There were gay men in my age group. Don't think there weren't. They were all over the place. The difference
but they
is
were men.
They were men. Now what they did at night, they had nothing to do with it. Now all of a sudden you got Sally Sue, who's a guy named Bob with blonde hair, blue lipstick, and butt implants. Something's wrong.
He said Sally Sue, y'all.
Ooh, Lonnie, you just made a picture. Damn.
I knew Lonnie was going to, he's going to bring it when it comes to this discussion. I've heard his feelings many times. So we got to have a show somewhat on this. I guess we have already had it in a lot of ways.
I totally agree.
I'm sure people
that.
Ready to call in right now too and go right at Lonnie for some of those statements. And we need that. I want to have the opposing view too. So everybody feels like their side is represented.
They
let's
really
get
don't
at the
want
heart
me to
of
go
it.
All the way in. I
we
will
do.
Go all the way in.
This is radio. Let's have it. Let's have a discussion right here on 30 plus WTH or WTF. I'm sorry.
WTF.
WTH is the other show. that's where we have the other stuff. Got two channels now, y'all. No, WTF. Let's have it. Let's have these discussions.
Let's have them.
Yes.
I think we need to.
For sure.
We need to have them.
We there's look.
I think I smoked weed on the day of that show.
You know why I think it needs to be discussed is because people are still conflicted. People still conflicted about this stuff. So we need to have these discussions so we can provide our community with some direction. And not saying that we decide for individuals what they do, but even just having a conversation out loud, it allows people to hear about perspectives that maybe they never considered this, you know, or considered that, you know. And so, you know, just by listening in, it may give somebody some direction out there that's having a hard time with this. Because we're, you know, we're joking about it and laughing about it, but this is serious stuff for some people. You know, suicide is involved in these type of contexts and a lot of different really tragic things. So as Malika just spoke on, people wasting, you know, their better years on folks. And so this is real life. This is affecting people. You know, so yeah, let's have it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. Listen, Milani, I feel like, you know, this is why we're here. There are no wrong answers. There's nothing that we're not trying to shy away from your point of view. And like Bobby said, we want to hear it because we know people are out here struggling. And this thing about suicide, that is not the answer. Get some help. Talk to somebody. If you're listening right now, that's not the answer. Get some help. Pick up the phone.
The answer is, I almost said it. The answer is stand up and stop bending over.
Oh, Lord. All I'm saying is suicide is not the answer. That's Lonnie. Suicide is not the answer. That's my PSA right now. Well, you know what? I appreciate y'all going into, you know, what was on Brittany's mind this week. I will make sure that I have.
See where your mind
led us, Brittany?
Huh?
See where your mind led us?
See where your mind
led us? look where we got to from my mind. My goodness. I love it.
Yes, indeed.
I love conversation that creates more conversation about other stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Well, we did. We surely did that this evening.
Right?
The listeners got a lot today.
Yes, listeners. Yeah.
This one we need to come in with the collection plate. Hey, y'all, donate. Do we got to go for me?
Right?
We just gave them some knowledge.
Right.
Y'all
got to
pay for that.
I know.
Y'all
got to
pay for that.
Lonnie's over there. I think he's rocking back and forth. What did you say, Lonnie?
I said I'm over
he
here vibrating.
Oh, he's vibrating.
Not using a vibrator, vibrating.
Oh, yeah, no. I heard that. That could be an investment. That's a whole other show. Vibrating. Anyway, Bobby is always
very prevalent as far as I've heard. Yes, indeed.
Huh?
See, I was about to jump into the vibrator discussion that quick.
Lord.
You know, I got something for that too, but we'll leave that alone to the next episode too.
Oh,
but it's been
Lord.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Lonnie, as always. It's so interesting to hear what's on your mind. We might have to delve into that one of these days because it's always interesting. And Miss Malika, look where this led to. This could be a whole series of shows about sexuality. We could do this for like a whole month, right?
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Because
that is
I mean, it's what is what's in the news, what people are talking about. Like you're saying, like with Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner, and people like that, and all this going on. So I think that's our time, so we don't get kicked off and cut off. As usual, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Lonnie and Bobby, Malika. Do your thing, girl. Everybody stay safe. This is 30 Plus. What the fuck, man?
Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Jet, 'cause I'm the hell man, Black Prince of the South, and you run up, don't get knocked.